This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And you're tuned into The Morning Run right here on BFM 89.9. I'm Tan Chung Han. With me, Joyce Goh and Melissa Idris. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
All right. It is a short work week. And so it's kind of like a Friday already, even though it's
yes,
only Thursday.
Yes, it is.
3-day weekends. Hey, that's what I live for. I mean, who doesn't, right?
Yeah, definitely. I've been waiting for today since Monday.
All right. So let's get you caught up on some news while you slept, and also some things to look forward to. So today, the former Prime Minister Dato Sri Najib Abdul Razak is set to be quizzed by the police again. Now, this continues a questioning that he conducted earlier this week as well on Monday. His questioning will be done under the Anti-Money Laundering Act.
Yeah, so on Monday, the former PM had his statement recorded for an hour under the AMLA, this is the Anti-Money Laundering, Anti-Terrorism Financing and Proceeds of Unlawful Activities Act.
What a mouthful.
It is. And he said they're expecting him to come again today to resume from the investigations from Monday.
Kasihan, so maybe he doesn't have a public holiday,
yeah,
you reckon?
And while the rest of us prepare for Merdeka Day, you know, his Merdeka Eve, perhaps, you know, with his freedom being under suspect.
Well, the source, Malaysia Kini spoke to some sources and reckons that there are questions that, that have come out or that still need to be answered about a number of financial transactions, some of which stretch back as far back as 2011. And, you know, the questions, why the police want to ask about these checks that are related to 2011, people close to the former Prime Minister reckon it's too long ago, you know, it shouldn't come into play now. But I'm sure there is a paper trail, money trail, digital trail.
Yeah. So just to recap, earlier this month, the former Prime Minister was charged with 3 counts of money laundering under AMLA, also another 4 amended charges over the former 1MDB subsidiary, SRC International. So it's a developing story. We'll keep you posted. Well, at least you got a heads up now, you know. speaking about leadership risks, the White House, hey, that's been a revolving door over there. So it looks like another top figure in the White House is set to leave this fall. The White House counsel, Don McGahn, is set to leave in the coming months. Leave the Trump administration, that is.
Yeah, so if this is true, then McGahn will be the latest among President's senior aides to depart. In fact, this will be one of the most closely associated Trump counsel that, people around in the Trump circle that is associated with that investigation. Really, you know, I think in the early days we could count. I think it was like a game of bingo of who would be out next. So whether Mr. McGahn will be leaving his post, we'll have to wait and see.
And when it comes to Donald Trump and predictability, you know, you can expect him to announce such news on Twitter.
Of course,
I think he announced
this
on a Twitter post on Wednesday.
All right. So I guess that is, if you don't get your news updates from BFM, I'm sure you can always follow POTUS on his Twitter feed. All right. It's coming up to 4 minutes past 6 a.m. in just a bit. We'll consider whether or not in 2018 there's, whether a new definition of a Good Samaritan is warranted. This on the back of news that a homeless man in the U.S. is set to sue a couple over $400,000 in fundraising money. We'll discuss that right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Oasis with Some Might Say. Hit track there from 1995 from the second studio album called What's the Story, Morning Glory. Do you remember that
album?
Love
that album.
Great song, great band. All right, it's now coming up to 10 minutes past 6 a.m. on this Thursday, August 30th, Merdeka Eve. Han, Joyce and Melissa keeping you company all the way till 10 a.m. here on The Morning Run. A question to ponder now is, you know, whether or not there's still space for trust for Good Samaritans in this day and age, because we've got this news on the BBC right now whereby a U.S. homeless man is suing a couple over $400,000 money raised for him. Okay, so here's the backstory. This homeless man initially became a bit of a star because he was seen giving his last $20 to this couple, and this couple had run out of petrol. The couple then said, well, we're going to pay you back in kind, or actually go and try to to crowdsource some funds for you. Mm-hmm. Now there's a legal battle here between the couple and this homeless man about where the money actually is. You know, so does that, I mean, I would think when you read stories like this, it really shatters this notion of trust when it comes to Good Samaritans in this day and age.
Okay, yeah, so I remember this story, Han, when it went viral. So I remember seeing that this man had been so generous to give this couple the last dollar he had, literally. And now I feel like I'm a little bit jaded. I feel like, the illusion of goodwill has been shattered a little bit. I'm struggling to understand the legal tussle. So essentially, they're fighting over the money, right? So they're fighting who gets that crowdsourced money.
Yeah, it's a way of he said, she said. So the homeless man said that the couple sold his camper, gambled away some of his money, and, you know, declined to provide him any financial records of this donation.
Of this homeless man?
Yeah, so the homeless man says that the couple sold his camper because they offered for him to park his camper near their house and all that. The couple claims that the homeless man blew $25,000 on drugs in just 13 days. Mm. So there's a lot of, like, he said, she said in this story.
And it's a lot of money, though. It's $400,000 that was crowdsourced.
Yeah, right. But then again, exactly like what Mel said, you know, do you see stories like this? Because it's not just this story. When I read the story, it made me remember of this other story of the Chinese couple who raised funds for their sick kid, but in the end, they used the funds on themselves rather than to treat, you know, their kid that who was sick.
So it was a cancer. It was I think you said that the kid.
But so stories like this that sometimes you think Good Samaritan, could it be too good to be true?
So imagine if you had given money to this crowdfunding, right? So you saw this video that went viral and you went, oh, I want to help this man because he's got such a good heart. So you contributed money to it, only to find out later that actually beyond the surface, you know, it's not as great, he didn't really, I don't know whether, I'm not going to judge whether what he did was out of the goodness of his heart, but to know that there's problems at the bottom, right?
Right. And it's these doubts that are being passed on to kids as well, because, you know, look, I'm sure, well, for the three of us in here, right, growing up, during moral class, we were told, you know, just donate to the poor.
Agama class, I went.
Agama class, moral class, right? You know, if you see a beggar, you know, give them some financial aid, right? Yeah.
Charity begins at home.
Right. But then when I use that same example, I mean, just not even thinking about it because it's just something that is so commonly used, right? I use that same example in my class and my students were shocked. And these are like, you know, 13, 14, 15-year-olds. They're like, no, because their whole lives, they were told by their parents, never give money to these beggars.
Why?
Or because of stories like this. Or they might use it to go and buy drugs or alcohol and whatnot. They won't use it to really improve themselves. You know, so when you read these stories and then at the same time you hold on to your moral ideals, where do we find that balance now in this day and age, right? You know, it's like, is there a more stringent test that's required of Good Samaritans now?
Yeah, and I guess also there's also this talk about, oh, there are syndicates out there, you know, especially you go pasar malam, and then you see people asking for money. There are other ways around it, though. You could, instead of money, maybe we could buy food for them, or buy the drink, or give them clothes. You know, there are other ways rather than financially, I guess.
Yeah, but then the scope is limited then, right? You know, there's only so much they can eat and, you know, so many clothes they need, you know, but giving them money will then enable them to access more goods and services to hopefully improve their lives.
And speaking of Good Samaritans, it's not just about beggars and giving charity, but also, you know, when someone wants to help you do, you know, with your car or
that's
something,
right,
there's always that fear, oh my goodness, should I stop to help this person who looks like the car has broken down or is having car trouble, right? And that's a little bit of a worry.
What happened to us though, right? Look at us.
We're so jaded.
All right, so let us know what you think. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. How do you still be a Good Samaritan, either be a Good Samaritan or receive the help from a Good Samaritan, right, in this day and age, given all these doubts and all these stories that are swirling around? Let us know. All right, we'll be back with more right here on The Morning Run. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Local Boy in the Photograph. That's the title of that song there by Stereophonics. Han, Joyce and Melissa with you here on the Morning Run on this shortened week, about to head into the longer weekend, where possibly you might be spending a lot more time on Facebook or on social media. So there's this story here in the scientificamerican.com, which says that after a study, turns out that only 150 of your Facebook contacts are real friends. The rest are fake.
Okay, so you guys have Facebook pages,
yes,
right? Okay, how many friends do you have? I mean, not a competition, not a competition, but how many friends do you roughly have on your Facebook?
I have them in the hundreds. I can't remember the exact details now. Yeah, I'm going to try and bring
but
it up.
But I
right
haven't
now
checked
okay
in a while.
All right. Yeah. So,
but I don't know. It's just that when it comes to Facebook,
just add or leave it?
No, no. Oh. Actually, and you have different profiles. For me, I don't know.
Oh, do you have a Finsta?
You
like
have
a fake
like
Insta?
No, no. As in, you have some friends where you're acquaintances, and you can actually categorize them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So first tier, second tier, third tier.
Yeah.
Actually, that's precisely it, because this study in Scientific American actually says that what we do is we categorize our friends, right? And we can't sustain so many meaningful relationships. And it turns out that we only can sustain 5 intimate friends, 15 people in our support group, and 150 acquaintances. So everyone else within after that 150 level probably is not really your friend lah.
Yeah, there also are 50 general friends.
Oh, 50
also
general
50
friends.
General
okay
friends.
General
yeah
friends.
All right. So using that criteria, right? So I'm looking at my Facebook.
How many friends do you have?
So I have 1,500.
He's Mr. Popular.
Well, hold yeah on, hold on. So I have 1,549, but I can confidently say this: every single individual I've met, on that list are people I've actually met.
Okay.
Okay. So it's not like just random. Sorry, folks. My Facebook is my private stuff. You can follow me on Twitter at, I don't even know what my Twitter handle is, but anyways, I'm on Twitter. You can follow me there for work, but Facebook is personal. So these are people I've actually met or worked with, you know, in my life. But going by that criteria, that list that Scientific American says, I think the number of acquaintances can be expanded greatly
okay
to beyond 150.
No, so this is where, I mean, how many of your friends that you've, of the 1,000 over people that you've met and added on Facebook, have you met again?
Well, I mean, obviously the ones in the States, you know, I'm not really seeing them very often
nowadays.
So
are they just like, you know, so people that you've just met once and then added on Facebook? So I'm wondering whether that falls into a category of acquaintance even.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, so these are people, you know, whose lives I actually have an interest in because I've met them, either shared a class with them or worked with them or, you know, met them at a party, you know, that I'm still, you know, having an interest in.
Okay.
So I guess that constitutes an acquaintance as opposed to just a random person on the street. You really don't care about the person, right? I mean, as cold as it sounds.
But now with so many social media platforms, because I'm less on Facebook, now I'm more on Instagram.
Okay.
You know, so I'm not sure if, as this article states, it's true, you know, how many of these people on your social media platform. I don't think it's just your Facebook.
Well,
this
specific
friends
study was from 2016 and it was specific, I think, to Facebook. So it was called the Facebook test. And they asked, you know, how many people that use social media regularly, that specific social media platform. And I think it benchmarked it against its how many Facebook friends that they had. So this, I guess, is specific to Facebook.
Yeah. So but again, you know, going beyond those four tiers that the Scientific American talks about, you know, perhaps we can ponder this question, right? What really constitutes a real relationship, you know, or what actually constitutes a real friend?
How would you categorize
okay
it? I find that so difficult.
Yeah, right. Because an acquaintance, probably not. You know the person, you can recognize them in a crowd, but that's pretty much it, right?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to somebody whom you genuinely care for and like would actually put effort into going out there and making sure you keep that relationship alive.
I think it's also the time that you spend
yeah
with the
yeah
people, the actual time that you invest into that. And you genuinely want to have a conversation.
Can I
with
be
them
honest, guys? I'm genuinely suspicious of people who claim to have a lot of close friends.
Yeah.
And I'm using air quotes on radio here. But I'm genuinely suspicious about people say, oh, I've got this group of friends and that. And I'm wondering, is that really the case? And how can somebody sustain that many close friends? Because are you different people with different groups, and why don't they know each other?
Yeah, that's right. You know, but again, you know, 5 intimate friends, you know, how many of us can lay claim to that?
That's 15? Four too many, I would say.
All right, well, let us know what you think at 018-789-8899. Again, there's so much to unpack here. How do you define real relationships? And does the number of friends on your social media list, you know, is that enough to build a real relationship, so to speak? All right, let us know, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. BFM 89.9, that was The Madness with It Must Be Love. In case you couldn't really figure out the title of that song, I'm Tan Chung Han. With me, Joyce Goh and Melissa Idris. You are tuned in to The Morning Run here on BFM 89.9. Now, folks, just a heads up, in case you haven't been following the news on our social media channels, today is the final day whereby BFM will be broadcasting from our existing studios. All right?
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you finished that sentence.
Yes. So in other words, we will be moving. So come Monday, we will be broadcasting from a new studio, from a new zip code.
Yeah, it's very Changi one, the studio.
Yes.
Right, we're making the move, and hopefully over the weekend, that move will be sorted. It's going to, moving is a very stressful time in anyone's life, let alone 60 odd people in BFM. Yeah. So collectively moving. I guess we're all looking forward to that. It really marks 10 years of our lives in BFM. So BFM turns 10 on Tuesday,
yay,
the 4th of September.
Yeah, Standard 4. So we enter Standard 4, 10 years old, right? Isn't it?
We're still a baby.
Yeah,
elementary school. That's right. That's right. Standard 4 is 10 years old.
Well, so the reason we're saying this is just to give you a heads up, in case you notice some glitches in the transmission over the weekend and going
to
next.
Fingers crossed that it won't happen.
Right? So just bear with us. We know, you love us, we love you. It must be love, as Madness just sung just now. So yeah, just to give you a heads up, that could be a possibility in the early stages of next week.
Because we've all moved at some point in our lives and we know how stressful it is and we know the hiccups that can happen. Like I was going to move into a new apartment and I had put in all my stuff and given the wrong address to the lorry. So I was waiting for ages for the lorry to arrive, only to realize that I had actually given the wrong apartment building. So the lorry was waiting at block B and I was in block A and I was wondering, where's all my stuff? So hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, so hopefully all the presenters, all the staff know where to go, and hopefully we'll be still bringing you the same quality news and analysis on the same channel, BFM 89.9, just a different physical location.
The frequency doesn't change.
Yeah, frequency doesn't change. All right, so you don't have to touch that dial. All right, now moving on, speaking of, let's talk about some of the feedback that's come in via WhatsApp and Twitter based on the stories that we were discussing earlier this morning.
Yeah, we have a WhatsApp from Intan. This is on the story we were talking about Facebook friends and how only 150 are our actual real friends on Facebook. And she says, my Facebook is only for my school friends, all work colleagues and family members, in brackets husband too. They are all blocked. It is my personal space. And I meet my Facebook friends almost every month, weddings, birthdays, if someone comes back from overseas.
Maybe her husband is not her real friend. Ooh. Oh, I'm sorry, Intan. I love you.
He didn't mean that, Intan. I also want to talk about some of the WhatsApps that have come in in relation to the conversation we had a little earlier this morning about Good Samaritans, whether stories of fraud and, I guess, controversy make us believe, lessen our belief in Good Samaritans, or how we believe in Good Samaritans. And Ro has weighed in and saying that he's been a Good Samaritan all his life through his mum, who taught him to never turn a blind eye. And he says very little bad things have happened to him. So his bottom line is give freely and expect nothing in return. Ramesh also weighed in, and he feels that we shouldn't be judging and generalizing the need to help, because sometimes it is misused by unscrupulous people. But there are many more poor people who genuinely need our help. So we shouldn't let a few bad apples really ruin that need to help others.
Yeah, we also have a WhatsApp from Jason Lim who says, I often ponder on this issue, but at the end of the day, it's our intention and heart that matters.
All right, you can always be part of this conversation on The Morning Run. WhatsApp is 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, in just a bit, we'll consider the idea of being proud to be Malaysian, as given that it is the eve of Merdeka Day. So we'll be talking about that right here on BFM 89.9. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9, beautifully unconventional by Wolf Alice here on the Morning Run. Han, Joyce and Melissa with you, keeping you company. As always, you can be part of this conversation. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this, folks, because here's a bit of a head-scratcher. So there was a survey done earlier this week by Gaji Data Research, which found that fewer people are now proud to be called Malaysians compared to a year ago. Last year's poll came in at 98.3%. So in other words, almost 100% of those surveyed last year said they were proud to be Malaysian. This week in this Malaysia Baru, that number apparently fell to about 75%.
Okay, this is mind-boggling to me that last year, almost everyone in Malaysia that was surveyed said they were proud to be Malaysian. I mean, great. I think that's wonderful. But I'm suspicious whenever it's a near-perfect score, right? I do wonder, though, because if you look at when the survey was done. So this year's survey was done
this week,
right? Yeah. So closer in the lead up to Merdeka. So I suspect last year's survey was also done in the lead up to Merdeka. And, you know, we spoke yesterday about this kind of seasonal patriotic fervor that happens every last week of August. Everyone gets a little bit more semangat than usual. And, you know, it really should be a year-round feeling. But perhaps at that point in time when they did the survey, everyone was feeling extra semangat because it was our 60th. And, you know, it's a big round number. It's a milestone in our nation's history. So perhaps the semangat Merdeka was a little bit more a semangat last year.
Well, I find this puzzling as well because this year, especially after May 9th, how we had a change in government and it went by so peacefully. Like, it shows how peaceful Malaysians are.
That's a symbol of patriotism.
Yeah, the handover was great. And how that put Malaysia on the map.
Yeah.
Right? And you speak to even people, Malaysians overseas, everyone's like, oh, you know, I'm so proud to be Malaysian. So I don't know, when these results came out, you were a bit, I mean, for me, when I read it, I was like, really?
Yeah. All right. So just to dive deeper into this, it might be down to the method used to conduct this survey. So for this year's survey, they actually use what they call the interactive voice response. That means a phone interview, right?
So you just press buttons on the keypad.
I'm assuming, right? Last year, they were doing it face-to-face. So perhaps there's another dimension to this discussion here, right?
You don't want to admit.
Right, exactly. Right. You know, how many of you would actually tell someone to their face, yeah, I'm not proud to be Malaysian, right? Even though you might be harboring negative sentiments about your sense of national pride, as opposed to being on the phone, yeah, I'm just going to press whatever number I want.
Okay.
I mean, because you do see that on feedback forms, for example, right? Not on a scale of 1 to 10, or how terrible was this restaurant? You put the nastiest comments on there online, but you won't go up and say it to the manager's face.
But it's also that human element, right? So you don't, because you're speaking to a fellow Malaysian, you don't want to say that, well, I'm not proud to be associated with you as well. And there's the human element. I see where you're coming from. But we also, I guess, really want to know what would make us say yes, that you know, answer the survey to say, yes, we are proud to be Malaysian. And I was thinking about it. And I would definitely, I think it would really boil down to what was happening on the day, whether I felt hopeful for the state of the country, if I felt somewhat negative or resentful of you know, things that happened that day. Even if someone perhaps was rude to me, and I'd be like, what happened to building first world minds, you know, BFM?
Yeah, and there's also this question as when are you most proud to be a Malaysian? Do you notice that sometimes it happens when the Malaysian is outside of Malaysia? When you meet a fellow Malaysian and you're like, oh yeah, you're Malaysian, and you know you're so happy to meet a fellow Malaysian. But when you're in Malaysia, how are you towards your fellow Malaysians? Right. Are you as cordial and as excited to meet one?
I am with Penangites.
Well, I will say this though. The national fervour certainly gets riled up whenever Singapore lays claims to any hot dish. That's one crispy rendang, no way. Nasi lemak is yours, no way.
But that's more nationalism than patriotism, because nationalism is when you want other countries to do worse than you, and that's quite bad.
They wanted to vote on how hawker fares is part of their culture and all that, right?
I was like, well, no, like, who really came up with that first?
So we have on WhatsApp, Malik Ali, who is our boss, saying that perhaps last year was the patriotic fervour came from the SEA Games, and that was perhaps why that hit the 98% figure.
Yeah, maybe, you know, but then again, you would think that May 9th, no offense to our athletes there, May 9th, what happened on May 9th this year trumps the SEA Games there, right? You would think, right? But again, well, let us know what you think, 018-789-8899. WhatsApp us, again, 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Are you proud to be a Malaysian right now? August 30th, 2018. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.